fighting for America.
Yeah, cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up Tiffin. We didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. You know, I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Even a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Work for the government. But this belongs to the government.
Okay, but that's not the way she sees it.
Well, I think she's going to have a real problem with it. I think the Freedom of FOIA cases against her are going to be numerous. I think there are possible civil violations that have to be looked at. I think she's going to be put under investigation. And I think the best answer here is, you know, trust but verify.
Okay, but
we have to see those emails.
There we have it. The Hillary Clinton email debate goes on and on. Good morning, Kevin Miller with you at 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com, at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter and Facebook. We'd love to interact with you all the time. Joining us now from Debbie Does Politics, Debbie Schlussel. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good to have you back. Great to have you with us. It's old home day once again. I wish that we could go back in the hot tub time machine, you know, 20 years ago. This, what's happening today with our foreign policy, would be a work of fiction, but the fiction is stranger than the truth when we're talking about how Israel is bad and the crazy mullahs in Iran and Tehran are good.
Yeah, who would have thought? I think that even Jimmy Carter, with all of his faulty machinations when we had hostages in Iran and his failed helicopter attempt to rescue them, even he was not on the side of the Ayatollahs, although I have to point out that he is the reason or one of the big reasons why the Shah of Iran was deposed. He pushed him out, and then the Ayatollah Khomeini flew back from Paris, where he was living in exile, to take things over. So his policies were not good and led to this current situation. But even he, as bad as he was not negotiating with these people to against our enemies. This whole thing is ridiculous. I do think, however, that the whole hubbub about Netanyahu's speech to Congress really was an acting job, like WWE wrestling, in my opinion, on all sides. I think there was a lot of fakery going on. I mean, let's face it, John Boehner has not been good on all of the very important national security issues that count, such as the Homeland Security funding and the funding for Obama's amnesty, which, by the way, brings in and makes legal a lot of Iranian terrorists who've snuck over our borders and come into this country. So he, I believe, invited Netanyahu to speak, not because he really cared about what Netanyahu had to say, but because he wanted to build up brownie points among us conservatives who don't like him. He wanted to say, look, I'm on the right. I'm supporting Netanyahu. So I think that when it comes to national security issues that really hurt Israel even more than Iran and hurt America more than Iran, it's which is immigration and open borders, John Boehner's a big zero. And then there is Netanyahu, who really gave this exact same speech a couple of years ago to Congress, maybe even 3 years ago, and it was pretty much the same speech. But in those 3 years, he hasn't really done anything to try and take out what's going on in Iran, because it's nearly impossible. They have 70 nuclear sites. What they did was they looked at what the Israelis did and what the Iraqis did when the Israelis took out the Iraqi nuclear system in Asarak, at Asarak, Iraq. And what happened was Saddam Hussein had his nuclear facilities and silos concentrated in one site, and it was above ground. So the Iranians learned from that, and they created what's estimated to be upwards of 70 sites, maybe even as many as 140 throughout Iran, and they're underground, and they are reinforced reportedly by cement. So the only thing that can destroy them is bunker busters, and Obama, by the way, won't give those to Israel. So Israel really can't destroy them anyway, but the only way they could be destroyed is if Israel got it was allowed to fly into the airspace of somewhere like Turkey, have the element of surprise, which is going to be nearly impossible to have given the surveillance and satellites that Iran has and so on. And they would have to take out all 140 sites at once. It's something nearly impossible to do. So I think that Netanyahu knows that eventually Iran, regardless of what kind of deal we make with them, is going to get those nuclear weapons, and really he's not going to do anything to stop it. Because, remember, we've been warned that this is going to go on for more than a decade, and nobody's done anything. I remember at the after the Bush administration ended and Dick Cheney wrote his book, which was, I thought, very illuminating, he said that he asked George W. Bush to give Israel the bunker busters and to help them take out the Iran nuclear system, and Bush wouldn't allow that. So, while Obama's more out in the open of what he's doing, Bush wasn't so helpful either, according to Dick Cheney, and I believe Dick Cheney. I thought he was an extraordinary vice president, and he should have been the president instead of Bush, because I think that he really had America's and our allies, Israel's, interests at heart.
Yet he was vilified. He was vilified by the press.
Right.
And Debbie, he's got great defenders like you here at 580 KIDO. But, you know, Cheney was probably right, but the press vilified him.
Right. The press did vilify him. They made him like Darth Vader in cartoons and so on. But really, I thought on foreign policy, he really knew what was going on better than Bush. And Bush stopped listening to him for a while. He also wanted Bush to give full clemency and a full pardon to Scooter Libby, which Bush didn't do. He only gave him partial pardon or a partial clemency. And, Bush, I felt, was not the right winger that he was portrayed in the press. We see the results of that. By the way, I want to point out the president who was toughest on Iran actually was Bill Clinton. We have an emergency aid policy where we are allowed, the government of Iran and the country of Iran is allowed to receive products and services from companies in the United States that are deemed to be emergency goods and services. Under Bill Clinton, he was very strict on that, and he only allowed $8 million worth of goods to pass over into Iran. Under Bush, that number went over $150 million, and we were sending Iran Coke and Pepsi and underwire bras from Hanes and Sara Lee. None of those things, I think, are emergency goods. I mean, if they really need underwear bras that badly, I don't think that's an emergency. Let them sag. And Coke and Pepsi, please. They can, if it's not an emergency, they can have their horrible Iranian soda. It's not going to, lose Iranian lives. But the trade went over $150 million a year with Iran. And after that, Barack Obama expanded it even further. I want to point out one other thing, which is that people like Carly Fiorina, who, thank God, will never be the Republican nominee, but she's pretending like she has a chance so that she can get speaking fees and continue to get media coverage. She actually, as the head of HP at the time, went around the U.S. embargo on Iran. And what she did was she set up international or, foreign divisions of HP so that she could sell printers and computers and ink cartridges to Iran and get away with it above or below or around the embargo. And so it's funny now to hear her talking tough on Iran along with some of the Republican candidates when she wasn't actually that tough. She was an enabler when it counted, when she was the leader of HP. But anyway, and then there is Obama, who I think really has acted disgracefully. I think we all know that this deal is doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't do anything for Israel. It actually does harm to both us and Israel. And the Iranian Ayatollahs are laughing at us all the way, I would say all the way to the bank, but I think all the way to the missile silo. So I think that, but yet he gets all of his leftists in the Democratic Party to cheer him on and appreciate that he was upset with Congress and fought against Boehner and Netanyahu. So I think all three actors in this scenario, they all get to play their part. One thing I want to point out about Netanyahu is that people think Netanyahu is like Ronald Reagan or Ted Cruz. And as far as Israeli politics go, he is not the Ronald Reagan or Ted Cruz of Israeli politics. He's more like the Jeb Bush of Israeli politics. Unfortunately, he's the best choice that is viable because the Labor Party candidate, who is to the left of Obama in terms of Israeli politics and who wants to reopen negotiations with the Palestinians and make more concessions to them, he's the only other choice. So Netanyahu has to be reelected, and it's a tight race. But Netanyahu's actually his worst problems, I think, in Israel, beyond Iran getting nukes, are immigration and open borders, just like in our country. Israel has a horrible immigration problem right now. They have people who've entered the country from all over, and liberal Israeli judges have ruled that they cannot be deported, that they're entitled to all kinds of welfare benefits and entitlements. I mean, it sounds familiar. It's just like in America. And they're having kids, and a lot of these people are Muslims. And their birth rate and their population in Israel is growing, which is another danger in the upcoming Israeli elections. Because, you know, right now there are, I think it's 10 or 12 Arab members of parliament of the Knesset. And there are only 120 members of the Knesset altogether. So that's already 10%. And many of these Arab members of the Knesset are Muslim, and they are calling for Israel's destruction. They openly support Hamas. I mean, it is, what other country in the Middle East has members of its government that openly call for its destruction? None. Just Israel, and you never hear about this on the news. The problem is that now these Arabs are, they used to have, like, smaller rival parties, but now they're uniting just behind one or two parties, and those are going to take a lot of seats in the Knesset, a lot more than 10 or 12.
And Debbie, hang on for a moment. We're going to have more with our great friend Debbie Schlossel here at 580 KIDO. We love your questions, your comments. Very insightful concerning Israel and Iran. Perhaps we'll talk a little bit about Syria. We'll talk a little bit about the body politic, and we love it when Debbie talks culture with us.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Idaho's place to talk. Live local talk about the issues that impact you. Our great friend Debbie Schlossel with us as we continue on. Debbie does politics. We go to the phones. Ron Paul Jim at 580 KIDO. Gee, I wonder what you want to talk about. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning. Debbie, I was just wondering which country has committed an act of war against the United States in its history?
Well, there are several countries. I would say Great Britain when we fought the Revolutionary War.
No.
I think you're probably about to say something anti-Semitic and incorrect. Am I right?
No. You're about to say what the truth is, which is the USS Liberty was attacked by what country?
You know what? The USS Liberty is a canard that is constantly preached and rehearsed by Jew haters and anti-Semites, and I think you're
probably one of them.
And everybody knows, and there's actually a great book about this written by a judge. I believe his name is A.J. Crystal. I believe it's spelled C-R-I-S-T-O-L. Who actually has studied the whole USS Liberty situation. And what happened was that an Israeli, that the USS Liberty never declared itself to the Israelis. The Israelis didn't know who it was, and they were in Israeli waters. And everybody knows that Israel is America's strongest ally in the world, including in the UN. And that was an accident because the sailors on the USS Liberty did not properly identify themselves and did not listen to Israeli authorities when they were in Israeli waters. That is not an act of war. You are not correct, but I know you don't like Jews, so thanks for letting us know. Whenever I hear the words USS Liberty, I know what it means. It means Jew-hater, neo-Nazi.
Which of the two countries has been caught in espionage with the United States? Which of the two
Many countries have been caught in espionage in the United States. China, for example. Russia, former Soviet
Iran
Union.
And Israel,
many countries, and you know what?
And you know what else?
Allies spy on allies. We know, for example, that the Germans spy on us. We spy on Angela Merkel. She got upset about that. We spy on the British. They spy on us. Allies spy against allies. And you know what? And I know what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about Jonathan Pollard. And you know what the story with Jonathan Pollard is? That some of the documents he was giving to the Israelis were documents the United States was required to give to Israel under treaties that the United States signed with Israel, but wasn't giving to
How
them.
Did Israel
Jonathan Pollard, by the way, got a bigger penalty in prison than any of the spies in the United States for enemy countries, spies that we caught who were working for the Chinese, spies we caught working for the Soviets.
How is it that Israel is the only country that is allowed dual citizenship, Israel and the United States, and given the highest levels of security
clearance? That's not true.
Serving in both governments.
We allow dual citizenship for many countries. You're mistaken. And in fact, I don't think you're mistaken. I think you know
serving
better. And I think you just like to lie because you don't
like
Israel. I think it's funny that a country that at certain points is less than a mile wide has your ire and attention. And that usually is a very strong sign coupled with the utterance of the words the word USS Liberty of Jew hatred, and I don't think you like the Jews. By the way, do you believe the Holocaust happened?
You always run to anti-Semitism.
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Instead of the truth.
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
United States.
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Was it not?
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Okay, what does Holocaust mean?
You won't answer. See, thank you for making my point. Holocaust denier. You don't believe that happened.
No, I didn't say
you don't like Israel. You don't like Jewish people.
No.
Did you dislike Hitler?
You know why?
Did you dislike Hitler? Did you think he was a bad actor in world affairs?
He was terrible.
Wow! Thank you. Finally, one decent answer from you.
Hey, let me ask you this.
He's terrible,
the definition
but you don't think he did. He perpetrated the Holocaust.
If you know so much about it, tell me what
the
proper definition of Holocaust is.
You don't think the Holocaust existed? My grandparents, who lost both sides of their families, my relatives who all have tattooed numbers on their arms, think it's all made
offering
up?
Sacrifice is the actual proper definition of what a Holocaust is. Look
in the Bible. So the Jews were just a sacrifice. Thanks for letting me know. Thanks for the tip, buddy.
I didn't make up the name. Somebody else did, and somebody is probably.
Oh, so it's a made up name and it never happened. Thank you.
It's a Zionist world that you live in.
The Zionists. That's another code word that Jew haters use. No, I live in America. I'm a proud American. I'm not sure what you are other than a proud neo-Nazi. But thanks for letting us know.
Jews against Zionists and see what you see.
All right, Ron Paul, Jim, thank you.
Code word for Jews.
Thank you for the call there.
Thanks for letting us know.
You're fired up, Debbie.
You know what? I can't stand Jew haters. These are the kinds of people that were, 20% of Nazi Germany and elected Hitler. And that's why the Holocaust happened, because of people like this. And, by the way, the things that this man was spouting is the same kind of stuff you'll hear on the Arab street and in the Arab newspapers everywhere in the Arab and Muslim worlds. It's no different. It's the same kind of stuff, by the way, that people who follow ISIS spout.
Debbie, we always appreciate it. Debbie Does Politics. We'd love to have you back. DebbieDoesPolitics.com, and we want to talk more about the ISIS threat. Thank you for making our day.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9 Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. It's the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett with us as we start your Friday morning with action, adventure, and all of the above.
Action, adventure, and all of the above. Might be selling them a bill of goods we can't live up to, Kevin.
Well, we can only try.
Okay. I'm ready. Try.
Well, what do you have?
What do I have? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much basketballed out already. March Madness hasn't officially even started yet.
Really?
Yeah. Lots of basketball going on. NAIA National Championships, Mountain West Conference, Big Sky Conference games.
Right.
Lots of stuff going on. Boise State, very strong yesterday against Air Force. Derek Marks gets in foul trouble early. They sit him the whole first half, and they still kicked him. So, very strong. They look, they're peaking at the right time.
If you're into college basketball.
Yep.
Yep. By the way, you can go to our website, 580kido.com, and vote on our instant poll. Do you believe the Broncos will win the Mountain West? Yes, they're going all the way. No, go Wyoming Cowboys. So, that's 580kido.com. We also
Wyoming Cowboys?
Yeah.
Huh.
We also have another instant poll up there where we have the picture of the baby with the flag that has been blowing up on social media. Is it patriotic or is it offensive? Vote now, by the way, at 580kido.com. We talked a little bit about Eric Holder. He's upset over the Ferguson shootings. This is what he had to say. Well, maybe not.
I thought he resigned.
I thought he was gone. I remember they had the big ceremony where the president shed a tear. Let's see. Let's try once again the crime-fighting attorney general.
I unequivocally condemn these repugnant attacks. I know that all of us in the law enforcement family and all Americans are really across the country are praying for the safe recovery of those two officers. And I stand ready to offer the full investigative resources of the United States Department of Justice, the FBI, to solve this crime.
There you have it.
Seeing this attack last night really kind of turned my stomach, because in the last week since the Justice Department released its pattern and practice report on Ferguson, I thought we'd begun to see really important signs of progress. They were good faith steps being taken within the city's leadership to move in a new, more cooperative direction that I think is beneficial to law enforcement and to community residents.
Yeah, they fired the police chief, and the day later, two cops are shot.
I guess he had some real progress being made then.
Well, one more, Eric Holder. I think this is the one I was looking for.
This really disgusting and cowardly attack might have been intended to unravel any sense of progress that exists, but I hope that that does not, in fact, happen.
We don't have the one where he calls them punks. He goes, these are two punks or one punk. And I'm going, okay, now we know about decorum of the office. We know about, we never heard the president say punk. Is it really appropriate for the attorney general? And then you have to take a look at the culpability in this, because remember, you and I talked about this off the air. As Ferguson was burning by the looters, by the pillagers, by everybody else, we had Eric Holder down there investigating the police. By the way, they were exonerated. No civil rights charges against the police.
Well, yeah, but that was just the investigation.
Right. That was just
the official investigation. That was just a grand jury.
And as we've seen before, you've had the Department of Justice with their civil rights or their community activism division go down there, whether it was Trayvon Martin or, in this case, Michael Brown, go down there and get people fired up.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, the Eric Holder and company, that's a couple of places that they decided to make their battleground.
And not only you have Eric Holder, but you have the Justice Department, you have Al Sharpton, you have others that, you know, were very vocal in their anti-police rhetoric, where keep your gloves on and speaking in code. I don't know what the Reverend Sharpton was saying. And you had those two officers in New York City that were assassinated in their cars. I guess that begs the question here. Well, who does have responsibility for this? Obviously the shooter, but what about the intent or the, you know, stirring things up that caused this to happen?
You know, it's interesting as you look at Ferguson, Missouri. Have you ever been to Ferguson?
One of the places I haven't been.
Yeah, I'm just outside of St. Louis, and it's really where the rioting and where the city was burning down is like a one block area. It's not a real big section. The news made it look really huge, like the entire city was burning. It was, you know, one street where the rioting and protesting and the looting, even though that's not what was really important, where all that was taking place. So the media kind of blew it up to make it look, and not to say that it, you know, wasn't a big deal. I mean, if it happened here, it'd be a big deal, but they blew it up to really make it look big.
Right, but on the other hand, let's face it, the media basically lied.
The
media lied in this case where, the false narrative of Michael Brown, nice citizen. Then we saw the video where he was assaulting the shop owner. Then the witnesses that came forward, some that were attacked, some that were threatened, some that disappeared.
Then there was a video that came out with him kicking and beating an older black man.
Right. And the officer was vilified. And yet, there was no apology, there was no this, and you know that the Department of Justice wanted to find something on Officer Wilson, but they couldn't.
To which I would assume he and his family probably moved away.
Well, you know, you're right, but the president last night on Jimmy Kimmel, now all of a sudden the president who said, there's not a white America, there's not a black America, there's just an America!
That's pretty good.
Well, thanks. This is what he had to say.
The law.
Well, and what was happening in Ferguson was you had city government telling the police department and that stop more people. We need to raise more money. Folks would get stopped. They'd get tickets. Then they'd have to wait in line to pay it, take a day off work. Folks would lose their jobs.
In what?
Cases, they were thrown in jail because they didn't have enough money for the fines. And then they'd get fined for that. And, you know, so there was a whole structure there, according to the Justice Department report, that indicated both racism and just a disregard for what law enforcement's supposed to do.
So they have police quotas to make the money. By the way, back to your point about Ferguson, Missouri, I thought it was highly insultive, and insultive probably not a word, but before 6 a.m. we'll go with it, to the civil rights movement. That they said, from Selma to Ferguson.
Oh, that almost sickens me.
What?
That almost sickens me.
Yeah.
But so people have to take their day off to pay their fines there?
Apparently he's an expert.
If you get a ticket, Kevin, do you take the day off?
No.
Or do you just mail it in?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I guess people get to take a day off there to pay a ticket. Nice.
Well, he just seemed to, you know, and remember, this is the guy that heard about Hillary Clinton's emails from the news, but he sure honed into Ferguson, isn't he?
Where does he get his news? Who is his news source, by the way? Because he got a good one.
Well, let's hear some more. Maybe it's Jimmy Kimmel.
And as I said before, I said this at Selma.
Oh,
it is not unique, but it's also not the norm.
Now, remember, Selma was the movement for his mom and his daddy or something like that, and he was moved by it, but he wasn't born yet. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Selma.
Was it him or was it Michelle, the first lady, that was named after somebody? But no, that didn't happen. Oh, no, wait a minute. That was Hillary Clinton. Never mind.
And we've got to constantly, when we're thinking about issues of racial progress or any kind of issue, recognize that things get better. But there's still more work to do, and we shouldn't be complacent about the very real existence of problems out there.
Man, that is the longest 90 seconds ever. We're just going to leave that at 60.
I wonder if Jimmy Kimmel was dying there going, oh, my.
Well, apparently, I guess he got him to do something goofy. I haven't seen the clip yet, but the president, is not a performer. But by the way, the president, you know, when he's talking about racism and everything else, remember having Beyonce and Jay-Z in the White House? Didn't Jay-Z have a party for African Americans only?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so he's doing his best to bring folks together here. And, you know, how about a hug? Well, not for you, buddy.
You get free McDonald's if you give a hug.
The president here is saying that the protesters have some very legitimate grievances. Really? So are we saying that the actions were justified, sir?
Disrespect the other side, people who resort to violence, that they're marginalized. And
they set us all back. They do. Yeah.
They do. But they're not the majority. And the same way that you can't generalize about police officers who do an extraordinarily tough job, overwhelmingly, they do it professionally. You can't generalize about protesters who, it turns out, had some very legitimate grievances. The Justice Department report showed that they were being stopped. African Americans were being stopped disproportionately, mainly so the city could raise money, even though these were unjust. And
I can't imagine how frustrating that must be. I mean,
there you have it.
What's the percentage of blacks to whites in Ferguson, I wonder?
I think in the police department, there's not a lot of blacks. And then the city government, there's a bunch of white people, allegedly.
I was just wondering on the street if more black people were stopped than white because there were more black people than white people.
Yeah, that's funny how that works.
Because I know here, you get a lot of white people stopped.
As they should be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. It just amazes me how Ferguson continues to be roiled up in the news.
Right. Indeed. Makes you wonder.
It does. So you got big plans for this weekend? The Miller household? Big plans?
We're going to be working on my blogs. That's about it. That's what I do on weekends.
You're a blogging fool.
Yep. Two blogs right now at 580kido.com.
What are the blogs? What are they about?
One about the, is it patriotism or is it offensive?
No, well, that would be the baby.
And whether or not the Broncos will win the Mountain West. Back to college basketball. Dave Burnett.
It's all one big circle, Kevin.
It is.
The world revolves around sports.
Well, and a welcome distraction for a lot of people.
Well, you know, and that's what it is. I think a lot of people, I think that's why people follow the Kardashians. I think that's why people follow sports is because it's an escape. And they can escape for a couple hours. I do think that. I think people is like, okay, going to escape for a couple hours.
Right.
And then they'll come back and worry about who's going to win on The Voice.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's what the whole thing's about. Don't worry about that ISIS thing. Or is it ISIL? Did we ever decide, is it ISIS or is it ISIL?
Depends on who you talk to. The administration, it's ISIL. The press, it's ISIS.
Because nobody's ever come to an agreement on that.
No.
And I've been waiting so that I'd know how to address it.
And how would you address it?
I don't know. I feel like I'm doing it wrong. If I do it either way, I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
I see.
It's those guys that are trying to get us, to me. And they're out there, allegedly.
Oh, allegedly. So we have that going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any other big news. What about you this weekend?
Well, I got a track meet I'm involved in, and then doing a lot of basketball on one of the stations here on our sister station. So doing that kind of. And then hoping.
So you're committed to basketball.
Oh, yeah. I have to. I'm forced into it.
Right.
But it always helps me win the tournament pool, which I haven't heard that surface yet either. You know, the one where we bet M&Ms here at the radio station?
Oh, that. No, I mean, I always protest against it because of the lack of productivity that we're robbed of all the working hours because everybody does these brackets. Happens all across the country. John Challenger and Associate always says that we're losing a ton of money, a ton of man hours because of the gamblers.
Good. Taking it from the man.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think you should do two brackets just because of that, Kevin.
Right.
I'm just saying. I do got to do this for you, though. And it's looking pretty good. Your traffic now is coming up.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
557, Kevin Miller with you. Thank you for joining us on this.
That point in time, like, you know what?
Friday morning. And, you know, we're covering the tragic homicide in the foothills. Our thoughts and prayers go to the friends and family members of those victims. Here in our beloved Treasure Valley, even bad things can happen. which makes us so appreciative, so grateful for what we have. You know, how many times have we thought about our own health, our own welfare, and thanked God that we live in Idaho? But even here, even in a good neighborhood, even in a great place to live, there is evil. That's why the power of prayer, the power of vigilance, the power of friendship, of community means so much. And then we see these two police officers. Thankfully, they are expected to recover. One shot in the face, one shot in the shoulder. You have Eric Holder calling the assailants punks. However, you have one rapper, which we'll get into coming up, a rapper who has made a lot of money selling the gangsta lifestyle, saying you reap what you sow. Is that any way to treat law enforcement? That's coming up next, plus our conversation with Senator Risch. It is 38 degrees.